A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thud.
Come on to the Lock Show. Come on to the People Show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 23rd of May in the year of our Lord 2002.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour golf. I don't know why that one has stuck, but it has.
He was good at golfing.
He was good at golfing. He was, and philandering.
Singing the holes.
Hey!
Star Wars Sex. Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, is the number one film in the UK box office. I admit, I've never seen it all the way through. Looks rubbish.
It's all right, actually. Funny enough, I believe it's this weekend or next weekend, Andrew, our very own Andrew from Cultaholic, said he was off to the cinema to go and see The Phantom Menace, because it's like the 20th anniversary. And I went, oh, we've been talking about them. And I went, oh, yes, because they were 20 years. That.
Of all the films to put back in the cinema.
Yeah, I know, right? But then also, in a wonderful coincidence, on the Classic Raw review this week, the number one movie is A New Hope, because that's been re-released in 97 as well. So it's just Star Wars all the way down at this point.
It really is. Mm. And forever. Rowan Keating's If Tomorrow Never Comes, that crap cover he did.
It wasn't a cover, was it?
Tomorrow never comes. Yeah, it was a country song before him.
Ah!
Big lad with a cowboy hat.
I did not know this.
Jim Ross. And Moby's 18, the album, the one with We Are All Made of Stars.
Is
the number one album.
People together. People then fall apart. Nothing can stop us now. We're all made of stars.
Falkirk Wheel opens up in Scotland. I read the Wikipedia article. I'm still unsure what it does exactly, but it is very pretty.
Is it like the London Eye?
No, it's supposed to be for dams and for lowering the water, but it looks so futuristic. And I went, Falkirk Wheel has opened up in Scotland.
There you go, we'll have that. Did you do any other deep diving into the Falkirk Wheel?
No, that prevents deep diving.
Hey! Oh, we're on it today, aren't we, mate? I mean, it looks like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Right.
The Falkirk Wheel. It just juts out of the landscape in Falkirk, does the Falkirk Wheel. It's £17.40 to go across it, if you still want to go across it. Rotating boat lift in Tamfor Hill, Falkirk, connecting the Forth and the Clyde Canal with the Union Canal. So do you put your boat in it? Oh, you do! Pop a boat in it.
Oh.
Takes it across.
You know, I must have been reading it in the wee hours of the morning or late at night, because I was just like, what does it do? It can't just be a boat lift.
No, it lifts boats across. Very much like how in Teesside, the transporter bridge is a car lift.
That's right.
And it never works.
That's right. Mickey Ward defeated Arturo Gatti in one of the best boxing fights you'll ever see in your life. What are you
laughing at? You said that in the most Geordie way. Arturo Gatti. Did he ride in on a Kawasaki?
Mickey Ward, like...
Did he have some...
put him in a wood, the hospital wood, the RVI, whatever. How come my when I try and do Geordie, it sounds just Pakistani?
It does sound a little bit like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, anyway, yeah, such a mid-fight. almost a bigger fight as the Independent Television Commission granting a two-week extension to applicants planning to bid to run a digital service to replace ITV Digital. The delay is to allow the companies to develop their technical proposals and means applications must be submitted by 13th of June. Yeah, just the never-ending saga of ITV Digital.
Oh, my God. It just never ends, does it?
No.
It's just... The whole thing was a farce. A farce, I tell you. But with good intention. because it wanted to give sort of lower league football a chance to get on telly. There just wasn't the money and the infrastructure to do it.
Yeah. More than 100 viewers have complained to the BBC about an episode of BBC One's new spy drama, Spooks, when an MI5 agent had her head pushed into a deep fat fryer before being shot.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you?
Oh my God, it was grim. That genuinely shocked a lot of people. Oh. The deep fat fryer incident. But when I read the fat, it was horrible. Made me feel a bit sick.
Someone show up and goes, "You can't park there."
That was afterwards.
Super Smash Bros. Melee is released.
Hey!
My favorite games of all time. I did a very nice little video for Triple Jump back in the day about what this little game meant to me.
You did indeed.
I don't think I've played the game since I did that video, but for a while it was up there, my fave five, as Booker T would say. And on call to a job in Halifax for a few days, Mac tells Diane of his departure. Diane takes...
Is this in Emmerdale?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's like the tease goes, no, we're on about it. No, this is part of the wrestling. Diane takes the news badly, convinced he is trying to let her down gently, like in the Falkirk lift. Determined to reject him before he rejects her. Diane feigns aloofness. I hate it when women feign aloofness.
And especially during sex.
And practically chucks him out. Although confused by Diane's actions, Mac feels that maybe he has had his wires crossed about Diane, as she was so blasé about their relationship. Well, with writing that good, it can only be a fantastic episode of the Cult Holic Classic SmackDown Review. You're listening to the dulcet tones of Mathu, and here's Tom.
Woohoo! Happy days, everybody. Yes. How are we doing? Are we all right, mate?
I'm all right.
All good. That's good. There's a nice breeze in the air today. It feels almost like summer is on the way. I think we all need that.
It's been very odd because it was one of the hottest days of the year, unexpectedly, this week. Then the next day, it was crap. And then the next day, they've shut most of the biker bridge.
Mm.
So for a nice time, just watching people, the long line of people going, oh, and turning around really slowly.
Yeah.
Can't go there, can I? And there's not a lot of room to maneuver, so I watched a bus take down a cone and a big traffic sign that I then put up to help out and be a good little lad.
Well, that's very kind of you. That's very decent of you, caring the community and all that. Yeah. Newcastle and the North East in general is having a fucking nightmare when it comes to bridges at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it'll mean nothing outside of people who live in any postcode.
Local.
Keep it local. Travel next. But the Tyne Bridge there's work beginning on the Tyne Bridge to renovate it. And as a result, it's down to one lane. So, like, basically, if you're looking to drive into Newcastle on a weekday morning, you are shit out of luck because it is a nightmare getting through.
That's not true. You can get the metro. Oh, yeah, you're
On BBC Newcastle, they did a really fun little bit where they had five of the newsreaders all start in Gateshead, and the task was to get from Gateshead to the studio using different methods of transportation.
Okay.
Oh, no, it wasn't Gateshead, sorry. It was further back. It was sort of South Shields Way.
Yeah, Gateshead, you can walk.
Yeah, I know. So it must be South Shields because somebody took somebody took the tunnel, the Tyne Tunnel.
Oh, yeah, which has just gone up this week.
Yeah. Somebody took the regular route over the Tyne Bridge.
Yeah.
One person took public transport. One person...
Like a bus, you mean? Or...
Yeah, so they took a metro and then a bus.
Oh, okay.
One person took their bike and the other person walked. And the
public... from Shields?
Yeah.
Go on.
Public transport got there first.
Okay.
Surprisingly. Followed by the Tyne Tunnel route. And then the time.
This sounds like propaganda to me. Like.
Propaganda by the BBC.
Literally 1984. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, there's loads on the undersurface going on at the moment. So which is why I like sitting down and doing this. With that in mind, there's no Classic SmackDown review next week. So we are off next week due to mitigating circumstances, and we are back the following week as normal, where hopefully I will be as normal as well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for sharing that.
It's all right.
Insight into your lives. And yeah, we are here for you. And we're glad that this daft little podcast.
It's an anchor.
Two middle-aged wankers going at it. can help in any small way.
It is an anchor in an otherwise uncertain sea. And I hope for you it is as well. Anyway, let's talk about wrestling from 2002, shall we? Before we do... Your little cheeky rainbow. Let's look at the mailbag.
What did I do?
Don't know what I called you. Cheeky
oh, okay.
classic at cultaholic.com if you want to say hi. Thank you for getting in touch as always. Dimitri from London, Ontario. Hi, Dimitri. Thank you for the lovely podcast, lads. Which wrestler would you bring over from the now drafted Raw roster, and who on the SmackDown roster would you change them for? A very straight, simple, because we've just had the draft in the last few weeks on WWE, so now we have set locked in rosters.
Yeah, I'm glad Dimitri's bringing that level of boredom to this podcast. Oh, what a rubbish week has been. Who is on Raw right now? Honestly, just for my own enjoyment, Planet Stasiak.
Oh, we'd have some fun with Planet Stasiak, wouldn't we?
If a feud with Reverend Devon.
Oh.
Like, you think...
Science versus religion.
Yeah. Still believing in God. Last time I woke up, you believed in me.
That'd be amazing. So who would we swap him for?
Oh, who's not good on SmackDown right now? That's good.
Anybody from like the sort of putty patrol that is the heels that knock around backstage watching Mark Henry lift shit?
Yeah, they all come together, don't they? Hardcore Holly.
Oh, there we go. Harry Lamanau. I'm going to bring over, because I'll miss him otherwise. I'm going to bring Kane over when he's ready. So I miss Kane on these. I miss Kane. And I'll swap him for Chavo Guerrero, right?
Oh, that's a good swap.
No, only because... Raw can have Chavo and Eddie together.
Ah,
that's what I'm thinking. So Raw get one of the coolest tag teams of the early noughties. We get Kane back. That's what I want to do. That'll
okay,
be nice.
Yep, you win this one.
Jay Rowe Botham from Stourbridge. I know Stourbridge. They have there's high bridge and there's low bridge and there's like a cliff lift that you have to go up to get to.
Get in even more bridge discussions.
All the more bridge discussions.
The best episode we've ever done.
But number one for bridges. Hulk Hogan has been in the news this week telling lies. This week's SmackDown is his pretend retirement. Spoiler, another lie. Be honest, when have you two lied? I don't think I've ever... My nanny Doris always taught me never to lie. But to be ecumenical with the truth. So Nan would buy cheap coffee and put it into a Nescafe jar. So when people would say, what coffee is that? Nan would just go, do you want to see the jar it came out of?
There's the jar.
Ah, that's good. That's technically correct.
Technically correct.
It's not quite a lie, but it'll do. We have to do these progress reports. Like what we were doing, basically, because one of the previous works, they were like, we're not sure what you're actually doing. We don't monitor you all the time. And clearly someone had a word with the managers. So the manager's like, all right, write down everything you're doing. So we would. And I noticed quite quickly we weren't getting any feedback. So I just started writing in the block, like Monday, 9 a.m. to this. I just started writing, you're not reading this.
Did you just write in there? You're not reading
one time or one day. And then the next week I spent an entire week of just that. Noticed no one was reading them, stopped doing them. And it wasn't until I told my mates, it's like, you're still doing those? Goes, yeah. Because why? Everyone just stopped and he was never brought up again. Which was a lie, but I can't think of any ones that would be funny.
This is going back 4 or 5 years when I used to work for Heart. This is Heart. And I was getting a taxi back. And I don't often talk about what I do in the taxi. Whenever I've bought a radio...
In the taxi.
When the taxi driver's like, what do you do? The lie I constantly tell, it's a lie I told this morning. The lie I constantly tell is when the taxi driver says, what do you do for a living? I always say, I work in IT.
Mm.
It's not wrong in the sense that there's computers involved, but I always say I work in IT. And on this one occasion, I'd got in the taxi and I come out of Hotel Heart is based in a building in Newcastle, which also has the Sky call centers.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So back then I would say if they pick me up outside the building, they say, what'd you do? I just said, I work for Sky. Cause I couldn't be bothered to get into a discussion because it tends to be, oh, why do you lie on the radio? Or why do you always play this song? Or I could be a DJ. I just can't. So cause I'm tired normally, not cause I'm rude. I'm just tired normally. And so I said, what do you do? I said, I work for Sky. And this guy went, oh, do you? I went, yeah. He said, well, I'm glad you're here because I'm looking to upgrade my package.
Oh, yeah.
So I went, oh, okay, what sort of thing are you looking for? And he went, oh, I've got this movie deal at the moment. And then I sort of busked it for a bit, thinking the conversation would pass. And then we got stuck in traffic. So
this episode of fucking Seinfeld.
It really is. Because then for 15 minutes, I was busking like Sky packages that he could buy. And then at one point I said one. So you can get this one and it's like 40 quid. Really, it's 40 quid? I went, yeah. Oh, because I thought it was like 112. I went, the one I'm thinking of is 40. I might be wrong. I said, then I had a mate who worked there and I buried him in it. I went, give this guy a ring. When you next call up, ask for this guy, say he spoke to me. He should sort you out with a good deal. And then I messaged the guy as I got out of the taxi and went, just a heads up, I've just given your name to a taxi driver who might want a Sky package for 40 quid. Sky being the TV service, in case you're listening in the States and you don't know. Sky is like the satellite TV package people. So that was me absolutely just caught with my pants down in the middle of a lie. I can't otherwise lie very well, unless it's like for good reason, like because I find lying too stressful. I often say to Alex, when we talk about things like this, I say, like, I'd never cheat on you because just keeping up with the lies, the admin of it, would just make me ill. Mm. It's probably why I'm a bit ill today, because there's lots of things that I'm keeping on the bubble, which are nice things that are happening that I can't talk about just yet. But there's nice things that are happening. So it's probably because I'm pushing all that down. It's making me ill. I'm not very good at it. I can't be asked to keep up with it. So it's honestly, in life, it's easier to be honest. And if you're in a situation where you can't be honest, just avoid.
Yeah.
Avoid.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Can't think of anything that's worth bringing up on a podcast.
That you legally can.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like that. Huge. I killed a man.
We all know that. Classic at cultaholic.com if you would like to say hi on the podcast next time. Do you want to go through some notes from the wrestling this week before we...
Oh, go on then.
...throw in? I feel like it's been Tom heavy this week. It'll be math heavy soon, don't you worry. So, math, there is some dissension, smellness on Monday nights. Kevin Nash...
Smellness?
Smellness. It's an OSW reference, isn't it?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Crossing the streams.
Hello! Kevin Nash and X-Pac are not happy campers. It's come to light this week that just 2 weeks back, there was a big old blow-up on Raw between Kevin Nash, X-Pac, and WWE Creative. They were very upset with the recent quality of the scripts and the stories that they've had. The Observer says, contrary to popular earlier reports, they didn't threaten to quit, but did throw a major tantrum and didn't get their way while Vince wasn't there. On location at the bar doing the Austin Guerrero thing. Sorry, I've read that all wrong. I apologize. They did throw... Okay, I'm going to start this bit again. Contrary to earlier reports, they did threaten to quit, but did throw a major tantrum and got their way while Vince wasn't there. So this was the episode of Raw where Vince was off on location filming what we see a little bit of tonight, which is the Austin Guerrero bar fight. So he was away there. Stephanie wasn't there. So Kevin Nash and X-Pac just played their face up about they didn't want to lose. I think X-Pac was down to lose two matches on Raw that night. And he's like, I'm not losing two matches. And eventually they got the segment redone. Kevin Nash basically was then allowed to go carte blanche with his own script, which he was very happy about. Not sure how everything went down. The original script called for X-Pac to do two jobs, as opposed to the Hardys, to first beat X-Pac and Big Show, and then later Goldust and Booker T. So they completely redid it because Nash and X-Pac weren't very happy. Now, Nash expects to turn face when he is cleared to wrestle once again, but he has been very upset over the past few weeks, having little or nothing to do with the decision to sack Scott Hall. Because 2 weeks ago, Kevin Nash turned up at Raw for what turned out to be no reason. There was a whole bit where he got out of a limo and he was supposed to do an interview, and that whole thing got cancelled in typical WWE Vince McMahon era style. The week afterwards, he was at the airport getting his bags when he got a call to say, oh, no, we don't need you this week. Literally as he landed, was getting his bags. He was very upset at the writers over a segment where Ric Flair fired Scott Hall from the NWO and brought Booker T in. Because Kevin Nash went, why is Ric Flair bossing around the NWO?
I'm with him.
Yeah, and I get that completely. Like, you, therefore, surely you would have... the NWO as its own entity? Why is Ric Flair deciding what happens within the NWO? It's typical creative bullshit from the Vince McMahon era that Kevin Nash and X-Pac are very upset about, basically. We'll keep an eye on that one. Speaking of creative, they have finally made the decision to split the creative team, something I thought they'd already done, to be honest with you. But we now have two creative writing teams, one for Raw, one for SmackDown. The Raw team is headed up by Brian Gewurz, who has...
Gewurz. Yeah, I got his book, and one of the things it starts up was how to pronounce his name.
Ah, Gewurz.
Yeah. As in, he's the worst.
Gewurz. Brian the Worst is writing Raw. Now, historically, Brian has written a lot of the comedy segments on Raw. So there is some question marks over whether or not he can take on a role this robust, whether it goes beyond him writing creative stuff. Obviously, him and The Rock are good mates, which is part of the, you know, he's back in the mix in 2024 as a result of The Rock coming back into the business. However, that's Raw. We're not worried about that.
Also, just a little mention, he was on SmackDown one time. He was the waiter in the segment where Perry Saturn ordered crayons for him and Terry.
It was him, wasn't it?
Yeah. Randy, the guy that they got was rubbish, so Arn Anderson, who was doing this, you just do it. Like, what? I'm going to wait. Just do it.
Just do it, Brian. Get in there. But we're not going to worry about Brian because the SmackDown creative team is being headed up by Paul Heyman.
Never heard of him.
Hey. Which is interesting because Heyman is at the moment predominantly on Raw, but yet he's writing the SmackDown stuff.
Two paychecks.
Two different gigs, two different paychecks. So he's going to be handling the SmackDown creative, which we are very excited about as our backstage, because Paul Heyman has a mad creative genius history that he is going to lean into, and oh, we're going to get some good telly thanks to Paul Heyman leading the team. Stephanie McMahon is going to oversee both crews, and of course, Vince McMahon will have the final say on everything as well. In terms of plans going forward, we've got the King of the Ring around the corner, and there are no plans in place for who is actually going to win the King of the Ring tournament. There is no real decision been made on how it's going to run yet, which is surprising because it's not that far away. It's literally the next pay-per-view, and they don't know what they're doing with it yet. But the plan is currently to have the show headlined by Undertaker versus Triple H for the Undisputed title. I don't remember that match, but I wonder whether that's like my brain protecting me.
I remember being rubbish.
Yeah. They've had a million matches, which is probably
a good memory to have.
It's not a good thing. Expect Raven to be back on telly soon. He's been working as a Sunday Night Heat commentator. He quit Sunday Night Heat just the other week, which means he'll be back on telly as a wrestler. They want to invest in him once again as a wrestler on Raw. We'll see how long that lasts. Little change in direction for the women's division because they've now got somebody full-time who is going to be working exclusively on their matches to help bring them up to speed.
Is that Fit Finlay?
It is Fit Finlay. It starts this week. The Observer saying Fit Finlay's been spending a ton of time working with the women to try and help them improve in the ring, sometimes for hours before a show. So he's putting a lot of effort in, and he's somebody that even to this day is praised as the sort of the women's division whisperer. And it was only this week that Natalia put out a tweet praising Fit Finlay for his help in putting together the NXT Underground match between her and...
The ass.
I feel really bad that I've forgotten their name. So that's happened this week. So Finlay's begun this job that will probably he'll come and go from for the next 20 years.
I remember that he showed up and they were like, oh, hello, what's your name? And he goes, my name is Finlay and I love to fight.
I love to teach you how to fight.
I went, oh, that's good. You like your Titantron? And he went, what?
Did Death Rebel make that one by any chance?
No, because it's good.
Oh, slammed.
More like DEAF Rebel.
Oh, I see what you did to them. There they are. Absolutely. Check out how we got new wrestler music through the power of AI on the Cultaholic YouTube channel right now. Including some new theme music for Hulk Hogan. Which certainly won't get us sued in any way, shape or form. Jim Ross has been to developmental territories this week, and the word...
Oh, sweet. What are you working on?
Well, there's one person coming up who they're very excited about. The word around the offices is the next guy to be promoted from OVW, being described by Jim Ross as improving in leaps and bounds above everyone else, is a young man by the name of Prototype.
Ron Waterman. Oh. Damn it.
Sadly.
So close.
It's another day for one Ron Waterman, I'm afraid. This is the time. The time is now. Your time is up. Prototype. Get ready for John Cena on our tellys very soon.
Yay.
Yeah. We're going to get to watch the rise of Jonathan Cena in front of our very eyes. I will end with a little bit of news about an upstart promotion getting underway by the name of NWA Total Nonstop Action.
Wow.
They got a lot of press this week when the Associated Press ran an article called Wrestling Family Starting New Venture. It even made the front page of the CNN website, if you can believe that.
What?
Yeah, the sports page of the CNN website, not the main one. Let's not get silly now.
Issues of Iran and Jeff Jarrett has a new wrestling promotion.
For those of you wondering how far they can go, check out this line from the article. The broadcast will carry a TV-14 rating, meaning it can contain violence, intense sexual situations, strong language, and intensely suggestive dialogue.
No, Tom, it means 14 people are going to purchase the pay-per-view.
It does mean that as well. This has been something they've talked about in the run-up to this, where they've kind of gone, yeah, we're going to do like a racy sort of late 90s Attitude Era style product because tits equal ratings, like cats equal stats. So they're going to throw a lot into that. But there is a small matter of the titles that will be presented on this new show. And the centerpiece will be the NWA Heavyweight Championship, currently held, well, at least this week,
Dan the B7.
Dan
right?
the B7.
Yeah.
Potential Ministry of Darkness member Dan Severn. Now, Dan Severn was approached to be booked for this event. They want to do a tournament to crown a new NWA champion. And Dan Severn said, "Oh, lads, I'm already booked for an event on that Wednesday, but I am free for every other Wednesday after that. Don't you worry." To which they went, "Nah, we'll just have your belt back." They had I don't think they had any intention of presenting Dan Severn as their champion. Yeah. For NWA TNA. So he was stripped of the NWA title and a tournament was put in place to crown a brand new champion. It will end up not being a tournament, but something completely different, but also very, very similar.
Yeah.
More on that as we get to it. They officially announced this week the signings of third man for the announced team, joining Ed Ferrara and Don West, Mike Tenay. Tenay joins at this point. They've also signed Jerry Lynn, Francine...
Yay.
The former Ryan Shamrock, Vanessa.
Don't remember her.
Elektra.
Oof.
And Bobcat, who was the one of the Godfather's hoes who won the hardcore title.
Oh.
So former WWF champion joins NWA TNA.
Oh, the line is being crossed. Yeah. First name Bob, surname Cat.
Jeff Jarrett's also been talking to Bret Hart this week about Bret Hart leading a faction called Team Canada. I didn't know that Bret Hart was originally penciled in to be the Scott D'Amore, which is fun. Anyway, it doesn't end up happening, but there is conversation about using some of the Hart family as part of Team Canada, including TJ Wilson, Harry Smith, and a young scallywag by the name of Ted Hart. More on that as we get to her. That's all the wrestling news this week.
Bloody hell.
There's a lot going on.
And can you believe it? There's even a wrestling show to discuss.
There's even an episode of SmackDown to get into.
Hey, we treat you well.
Nom, nom, nom.
We are at Tupelo, Mississippi, Missouri?
Tupelo.
It's MS. Tupelo MS.
Missouri.
Microsoft. For this event.
Oh, it is Mississippi, I apologize.
7,450 people.
Is it?
And the matches before we start with SmackDown. Jerry Lawler defeats Albert. What? Right, that's going to be a dark match, surely. Jamie Noble defeats Shannon Moore, Shades of Late WCW. Michael Shane, remember him.
Shawn Michaels' cousin.
That's right. Defeated Sonny Saki. We remember him as well. And that sets up Velocity, which had Billy Kidman defeating Tajiri. Hardcore Holly defeating Val Venus. WWE Women's Champion Trish Stratus defeating Stacey Keibler in the main event bra and panties match because it's the first episode of Velocity.
This is the debut of Velocity, their new syndicated show.
Mm.
So the plan is to have Heat for Raw and Velocity for SmackDown. And this is where they record it tonight.
They certainly do. That main event there.
We hype it throughout the night on SmackDown.
We do.
We love it, don't we?
Yeah.
A lot of nice little indie names getting dark match runouts there.
It is that period of history.
Mm.
SmackDown. We get the recap package of what happened at Judgment Day, and it's pretty sweet, as it's all about the actual concept of a real-life Judgment Day, how it's your last day on Earth, wondering if you had a good life or not. So it shows Hogan defeated with the word retirement written all over him. Very nice stuff here. It's putting up the idea that this is Hogan's Judgment Day.
I like that.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere, though, and because up until the start of this episode of SmackDown, there was nothing that indicated that Hogan might be retiring. Mm. So unless that happened
saying,
on Raw.
He did say, like, on a previous his big speeches, Ontario was just like, well, I only wanted to win the title. I've won my last shot at it, so I don't know how much long I've got left in this. So,
oh, okay. There's so a bit of a tease. I guess they had kind of teased it there, yeah. Hadn't they?
And that's the hype for tonight and the main event. Triple H heads out to start the show, so you can start reading Discworld now.
Or
roughly halfway through Reaper Man by the time he gets the ring.
You can put your book down and admire how Triple H, injured from Hell in a Cell, is walking like he's shat his pants. More so than normal. He's so bulky at the moment. Mm. Ease up, lad.
Michael Cole says there's no way Triple H is 100% after that. I don't know, like, he seemed fine after being dropped in a car that one time.
Yeah, I know. He didn't suffer one broken bone. Yeah. Fuck off.
Lance Storm heads out, and he's mad about what Triple H did to his fellow Canadian, and says Triple H proved he's nothing but an animal. So Lance runs in and immediately gets clotheslined down like a goon. Triple H is heavily padded in the knee, so naturally he also busts out a flying knee and then goes, ow, that hurt. And I put, that's where Seth Rollins learned it from. Lance is able to pound away on Triple H, but he doesn't do a great job of getting heat or interacting with the crowd because his gimmick is he's a technical mastermind or something. Crowd are very into Triple H, though. Lance is able to bust out the freshly cut Triple H and then apply a single crab onto Triple H's bandaged knee. Lance keeps landing super kicks so he can head up top, but Triple H pushes the ref into ropes to send him off and land a pedigree with zero selling, despite the fact he lands direct on his knee, because it's the period of Triple H looking super dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Lance did what he could for a dude who was part of the 8-man group that Triple H knocked down by himself 2 weeks ago.
I would say this, Storm got more offense than I thought he would. I was genuinely like, I thought this would be a 2-minute one and done for Trips, but I guess it's the idea that, Storm only got that advantage because Triple H has been through Hell in a Cell.
That's it, isn't it? It's just delaying the inevitable.
Yes.
Triple H got bledded by Lance, but it was only
got
because
well
of,
bledded.
It's only because of Hell in a Cell.
Basically, yeah.
Not because of Storm and a teacup. That's a different match.
Why was that not Lance Storm's gimmick match? Storm in a teacup.
I am Storm in a teacup. Kurt and Christian talk backstage. Kurt's head is not shown. He talks about wearing his medals and how tough that was to perform in front of his country. But tonight, this will be even tougher. Christian points out, yeah, well, at least the crowd will be chanting, you suck. It'll be, you're bald, you're bald. And we see Kurt's top half look angry at Christian. So just two angry pecks both look Christian's way. Christian goes, they'll be chanting, baldly handsome. In a manly way.
That was a nice recovery, actually.
And then to do the good, they did a bit of camera work there where Kurt grabs a mirror and holds it perfectly in front of his face as the camera finally tilts up.
Oh, like, they cut it magnificently, didn't they?
So we still haven't seen him actually proper bald yet. Apart from at the pay-per-view where he gets his head. Anyway, you'll see. Tess is backstage checking himself out in a mirror. And Stacey says Vince wants sonic screeching noise. So who?
Mm-hmm. So, every week we ask you to come up with a suggestion for who Vince McMahon should be this week. We're taking Vince McMahon out of this storyline during a time where he's facing some horrific allegations from a previous employee. So we ask you every week to come up with a new name for Vince McMahon or a new character to represent Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah, we've all got a couple of names for him.
Yes, oh, we certainly have. This week, as offered to us by Kyrie from Brighton, Vince McMahon will be Pat Mustard from Father Ted.
Oh.
I'm having to jack off around the clock because I'm not getting proper sex with girls. Oh my God, he's far too familiar.
I was going to say, hang on.
It's fine. It's look. Okay, he's a questionable character, but look, it's from Father Ted. It's that great show written by Graham Little.
No. Tom, you grab the shovel, I'll grab the other one. We'll continue to make this hole bigger. This is backstage checking Pat himself mustard. Out. And Stacey says, Pat Mustard.
And now to ride Mrs. O'Reilly.
Suddenly the show's improved massively.
Pat Mustard was a philandering milkman from Father Ted. that's the best way to describe him, wasn't it?
Stacey wants Pat Mustard. Wants Tess to deal with Randy Orton because Randy is hot. And I guess he's getting in the way of the milk deliveries. Inexplicably. Tess then puts the lips on Stacey, and she's apparently chemically imbalanced and is okay with it because it's 2002, baby. Hey, Tess is also chemically imbalanced too, but in a different way.
Christ.
Very nice O2 segment. Let's move on.
Very O2 segment, but I was intrigued to look this, and I did look this up, and indeed Andrew Martin and Stacey Keibler were dating IRL at this time. So
you're saying he cut the mustard?
He cut the mustard, quite literally. It does explain why that happened and she was okay with it. But bear in mind, to us in storyline world, it's never been explained that they're dating in real life. So it was a confusing moment where it looks like Test is just assaulting her.
Yeah, but it's been proven backstage beforehand that Stacey is sex mad at this point.
That gets you out of a lot of very dark potholes. It's just to go, oh, she's fine. She's just sex mad.
It's okay. She's mental. Kurt's music plays as on the arena, not backstage. That's a good way to get someone in the mood, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Angle's music.
Come on, man, let's do it. No, I'm not really in the mood. Wait a minute. 2 seconds. Oh, yeah. Fuckers.
I am priapic. Let's go.
Pat Mustard just blasting out Kurt's theme over the little milkman tannoy. In the arena, Kurt's music plays. But he doesn't come out. So they play it again. And he finally appears after building the suspense. And Tom, are you ready for a miracle? His hair's grown back.
I know.
In 4 days. Taz chants, Rogaine, Rogaine. Kurt gets a mic and explains. People said it was a miracle when I won a medal with a broken freaking neck, but this might top it. In less than a week, it's back to its natural state. Hell, I let it grow back longer for kicks. Sorry for letting you all down, and I know you all spent your hard-earned money on the pay-per-view to see it bald, but I guess there's always Hogan to look forward to tonight.
Oh, he's done it there.
Kurt excuses himself as he's just brought some new moose he wants to try out backstage. And for this, that needs to be said, he's got a lovely fluffy set hair. He's wearing amateur wrestling gear on it. Over it, I should say. I guess that's the best way of putting it.
So it's an amateur wrestling helmet.
Because he is an amateur wrestler. Extraordinary. Olympian. You may not be aware of this, Tom, so it's okay for you to wear that.
I have heard a rumour that he's into his Olympics.
Yeah. Maven shows up, star of YouTube, and encourages Kurt to go bald. It's fine. The fans will still love him, right? Crowd cheers. Kurt says, excuse me, do I know you? Do you work here or something? As Maven's there, he's got more hair on his eyebrows than his head. Wearing a baby blue SmackDown shirt.
And it's the new SmackDown slogan.
Please watch.
Dear God, please watch. Put a little...
Try the Falkirk wheel. Just opened up this week.
Try the Falkirk wheel. Like the Falkirk wheel, Kurt Angle. I'm going to gently pick you up and put you in the other river.
It says it's fall right in the bottom. When was you in the Falkirks?
The new phrase is, put a little SmackDown on it.
Ooh.
It sounds great.
No, Tom, stop
it?
Joking. What's the real
catchphrase? That's the real phrase. Oh, we'll see multiple T-shirts this week that say, put a little SmackDown on it. Up there with that, you know, is it a reference to Rikishi singing, put a little ass on it that time? Put a little ass on it. No, I won't. You monster.
Moving on. Kurt remembers where he's seen Maven. On that YouTube show. Whenever someone's name comes up, he goes, ha, 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 there's a little laugh, and then talks about them for a bit. He goes, oh, you're Maven. You won a contract on MTV. Wow, that's really impressive. Why don't you come out here and take this supposed wig off then, if you're so tough? So Maven does. Well, he heads out to do it, and it's a big pop for him, having the Kevorka to take on Kurt. He lands a wonderful dropkick before Kurt German suplexes him down. And leaves. However, This distracts Kurt long enough for Edge to try and unwig Kurt, but Christian thankfully saves him. Lovely segment as always. Yeah. God love you, Kurt. The SmackDown catchphrase should be, this is the one with Kurt on it.
Yeah, watch this show. Kurt Angle's here every week. Keeping this show ticking over. I thought Maver looked great here. I mean, it's Angle working with people, and Angle's has this wonderful ability of making everybody he's in there with look great. And it's such an underrated quality to have, because Angle makes, and later on tonight he'll do the same. Angle and Maven have some lovely exchanges later on, and he's just great, isn't he? And then he's just great.
Yeah, and again, only Kurt could get away with coming out, doing this stuff with his hair, and still being treated like Kurt effing Angle.
Yes. It's
so good.
It's him and William Regal.
Yes.
That can do the unflattering comedy stuff and still be the hardest bastards in the room. And it's something that I think Triple H was never good at. Like, Triple H always had to make sure everyone knew he was the toughest man ever.
Yeah.
And if he told a joke, he'd overtell the joke just because then you knew it was a joke. That way he didn't look silly when it didn't land. Yes. Yeah.
Triple H is the guy who watches Robin Hood and goes, why is Little John called Little John? He should be called Fat Bastard John.
Basically, yeah.
Anyway, RVD, RVD with gear and jeans on tells kids to drink Bruising Berry. And for any lawyers watching, can you please ignore the huge WWF logo in the background there? Cheers, cheers. Thanks, cheers.
This is a hilarious oversight by the company who just launched this new campaign with Slurpee. But all the POS, the point of sale stuff's already gone out. And they have to spend all this money to change it now. But they also say WWF.
Yeah.
Just cut that F off like they did in the adverts. Cut the F off,
right. Hey, kids, can you drink the new flavor? Blur and Berry. What?
What's
Blur
that?
And Berry. Well, oh, that's what that blur's about. That's right. It's part of the drink.
Son, what you got there? It's a Blur and Berry drink. Where'd you get it from? Well, that man in there wearing tights and jeans told me to buy it. I wanted a rock cup, but he told me I can't have one.
I've had a Blur and Berry, and now I can't drive home.
my Blur and Vision means I can't drive home.
I tried putting the key in the ignition, and it turned into a hamster and ran off. The fuck have you done, RVD? Just looks at RVD and goes, yeah, cool.
Try to drive home and I think I'm in a Beatles video.
But here's Stacy to dance on the announce desk, like how she used to do for Lenny Lane and Lodi in WCW.
Yep, just dancing whilst the Kid Rock version of Legs plays.
Oh, God. I'd dance to laugh. Get that song off me as well.
Taz, I think, calls her a tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off. Yeah. Best wishes to Taz, by the way, this week, who announced on Twitter that he's got to have both his shoulders and both his knees replaced.
What?
Yeah! God love him! Four joints replaced.
Fucking hell, Trigger's Broom over here.
He is Trigger's Broom. He says it's not down to bumps, it's down to the way that he trained. Because he trained like... I'll get you the actual quote that we used in the news video that we recorded on the morning that you're hearing, the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review that is in your ears currently. So he said this morning on Twitter that he went to a highly acclaimed orthopedic surgeon to discuss my knee. It's been brutal for a couple of years. So did testing and x-rays. Both my shoulders and knees need to be replaced. Four joints. I'm not doing this right now. I'm going to keep trying regenerative procedures to try and suck it up dealing with the pain. This is not from bumps. It's from training too heavy like a caveman trying to be big. I'm posting this for today's wrestlers. Please be smarter. Times have changed for the better. And I remember my strongest memory of Taz is him in like his ECW days where like he's just built like a bollard, isn't he? Mm. Just like a massive guy with a low force of gravity. And he says that's what's done it. So sending our best wishes to Taz.
Absolutely.
There's a digression worth making on this occasion for our boy Taz. Big love to Taz.
Oh, I don't like. I like laughing with and at Taz. I'm not like, oh no, actual person Taz in real pain. Oh.
Well, send him a message and wish him love.
I'm sure he'll block me. But thank you for that.
But I digress.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Randy Orton shows up and Stacy is asked questions by the commentators, but she can't answer as she's too busy perving over Randy. It's 2002. Test batters Randy and lands the pump handle, but he picks up Randy on the two count. Test keeps looking over at Stacy, so he accidentally crotches himself on the ropes, we've all been there, as the SmackDown hairdryer goes crazy for Randy.
It did go mad, didn't it?
Yeah. High crossbody is followed through by Test into a two count. Very nice moment there. Test tries the pump handle again, but O'Connor reverses it for two. Full Nelson slam by Test is counted into a pinfall attempt twice, but Test finally puts Randy Orton away with the crossroads for three. Hey, this was really well done, considering how little experience Orton had. Well done, Ring General Test.
I know. Like, he got low. There was loads of decent wrestling pins and holds and stuff all around it. He looked brilliant in it. He did indeed win with a new finisher that we now know as the Crossroads. Can you remember what Test called it, though?
The Test Drive.
The Test Drive.
Wow, I just guessed
it. It was a good guess.
A really naff joke with Test. Math Test.
Why it wasn't called Test Drive 64, I don't know, because you missed a trick there.
An 02. No, it's dead.
Of course it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Test Drive.
Test Drive
2002.
Test Drive 2 on the Xbox.
Yeah. Test Drive Vroom Vroom. But yeah, the match was Test trying to put the little lad away.
He is a little lad.
Compared to him, I.
Yeah.
The smaller lad away with his big moves, and then Randy trying to get the sneaky pin every time.
It's brilliant. Yeah. I thought, well put together. I thought Randy Orton looked solid here. Yeah. And Test, will I always say, he has a pin over Randy Orton.
Well done.
As does Hardcore Holly, to be fair.
Backstage, your dad, The Undertaker, is rude to Tom's friend Mark Taylor.
Mark Lloyd!
Oh, really?
Fuck's sake! Oh. I'm going to get him on one week.
I was really happy I remembered his name.
Lambastia.
His friend Mark, and reminds everyone he's the champ. I've put Taylor down so many times, like I said. Mark says, yeah, but remember this from Raw? And it's a video package of Undertaker assaulting RVD for not respecting him. Well, in theory, as RVD has been hit harder than that by Jerry Lynn, so he recovers to have a match later on Raw. Rolling Thunder puts away The Undertaker after he bonked at the turnbuckle. RVD's the new champ. Wait. Undertaker's foot was on the rope, and it was, as Flair points out. So Undertaker recovers and pins RVD. Well, who's the heel for pointing out the... Is Flair the heel for pointing out the
Flair's
truth?
The heel. Yeah, Flair's heel on Raw now.
But he pointed out, yeah, he did have the foot on the rope. Oh, that evil heel pointing out things that are actually happening.
I mean, that is a grey area. Where, you know, if he was a babyface, he'd have just let it lie and just let it slide and let Robin now become champ.
Undertaker doesn't care about the footage. Undertaker has a weird style in his talking. He's not trying to sound like a dead man and not trying to put any bass in his voice. He just sounds like a generic old fuck.
Generic old man.
Yeah.
Basically. This is the new Undertaker, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of all the things that might get him a pop. So his music's changed, his attitude's changed, his voice has changed.
He's crap in the ring.
He's crap in the ring.
It. Let's work and boo.
Spoiler slightly. Totally forgot that Rob Van Dam had this phantom title win in 02.
Yeah. They're trying to do the Jericho Triple H thing from 2000.
Yeah, we talked about that a few years ago, and that was great. I remember that happening at the time, but the Van Damme thing completely slipped my mind. Mm. And what a lovely image of Van Damme holding up that undisputed title. I was like, oh, that'd have been good. Oh, wait, it didn't happen.
Rico is seen checking out his tag title belt. A lot of checking out. People checking themselves out in this episode of SmackDown.
A lot of checking out. Saying,
until Heyman's up to no good. Billy and Chuck catch him, and they're mad. Rico says he's gutted because gold doesn't go with any of his clothes. The gays forgive him with a hug, but give one another a death stare when Rico's not looking, like, uh-oh, trouble in paradise.
Rico likes being champ, but he's playing down the fact that he doesn't.
Mm. And the gays are like, of course we forgive you. Yeah. No, we don't. That's proper gayness, that is.
Yeah, catty gayness.
Exactly. The studying. Jericho bumps into Farouk backstage, and Jericho says, ah, just the man I've been looking for, which Farouk replies with, man, are you high or drunk or just got hit too many times in the head at Hell in a Cell? To which Jericho replies, yes, yes, and yes. JK, no, he doesn't. He wants protection tonight from Farouk, who declines because he knows who his opponent is tonight. And Jericho goes, what opponent? Oh, my God, it's Mark Henry. That was a segment.
Farouk telling Jericho, the only thing that you have to pay right now is attention. As he walks away, Mark Henry stood there. It's me tonight. Because Jericho and Triple H basically both having matches coming off of Hell in a Cell. Triple H like a gallant babyface, pushing through the pain, getting it done. Jericho going, oh, I don't want to fight. Could somebody help me? Because he's a baddie.
He's a bitch.
He's a bitch.
Edge and Maven take on Kurt Angle and Christian. Kurt, yes, still has his wig on. And yes, Taz is still saying it's real hair. Oh, Kurt beats Edge to start, but as soon as he goes for the headgear, he tags into Christian. Maven gets suplexed vigorously, but he comes back with a low blow. Taz says, hey, who's teaching Maven all these underhanded tactics? It wasn't me. It must be that dirty Al Snow. Hot tag to Edge, who backdrops everyone as big-ass moves get exchanged, and the crowd loves it all until Maven lands an O'Connor roll on Christian to end it.
Mm.
Maven is over and bald.
Brilliant stuff. Maven looked great in there with all these workhorses. Like, it really shone in this one. And I don't know whether the match was designed to specifically get Maven over, but I think that's what it did.
It did, yeah. Brilliant. Operation Get Lads Over 02.
Yeah, especially on SmackDown.
Especially as they're plugging, he's be said as well, Tough Enough 2.
Yeah, that's it. So you go, hey, look, you can have the sort of career that Maven's having.
Yeah.
Come do Tough Enough 2.
That's right. The Panasonic Slam of the Week, that's what it's called, was Devon and Batista flapjacking Bubba through a table at JD to start a feud that isn't happening.
No, right. That's it. They can't because they're on different brands now.
On different brands. Don't know why they did this.
In the Observer this week.
What did he observe?
Dave Meltzer says there was some concern that potentially the way they were going to go for King of the Ring was Bubba versus Devon meeting in the final. Because nothing's planned out, but he was like, oh, you know, I'm somewhat concerned that they might do Bubba versus Devon in the finals of the King of the Ring. Because these go in, well, they set it up there, so therefore they have to pay it off somewhere. Nah, this is the thing with WWE at this point. They don't have to pay off anything. They just have to turn up. There's no need to pay it off. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
All good in the hood.
But good news is, Devon is here with the much better second version of his song, the gospel singer
one. Yeah, he's calling name.
That's it.
He's calling name.
I put heaven, yeah.
This is so much better for him.
Yep.
It feels like the package is becoming more complete now.
Oh, hello.
Oh, come on in. And Andrew Hodkinson running.
Andrew, when you seen The Phantom Menace?
Seen it on Sunday.
Ah.
Bloody hell.
Excited.
Where you seen it?
Client side.
Lovely.
And we were talking about you earlier going to see the Phantom. Come on, hey, come on round and show off, because as we record this on a Thursday, Andrew is about to go upstairs and do predictions for Backlash France, and there it is.
Parlez-vous français.
The predictions championship.
Oui. Magnifique.
Can you do your best Jar Jar Binks impression?
No, she's a hideous stereotype.
Yeah, that's the right one.
Zadalo,
Andrew Hodkinson running on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. You love to see it.
Thank you.
He's, love you.
He's Sir Andrew. He's Sir Good.
You can check out the video that Andrew... So Andrew was running in because his WWE Cold Olic Predictions Championship was just in the room next door. So he had to run in and get it because we're about to shoot the video for the predictions, which you've hopefully already seen. A little behind the scenes there. I like it when we show the wires. I love when people come to the door and kind of awkwardly look in. I'm like, come in. Come be a part of it. It's all good.
That depends who it is.
Wild Andy, yeah.
If it's cheaty, I go, I'm recording.
Do you remember that one that when it announced that Vince McMahon had stepped down just as we finished? That was a time, wasn't it? Anyway.
So people said the lovely contrasts. Tom, right, battle stations, grab this podcast out, this radio thing. Me going, fucking hell, oh no.
It's so funny how we treated that same situation very differently.
Yeah.
Please call my name. Yep. Here comes Reverend Devon with his brand new music. Love his work. Who's his opponent this week?
Rikishi and Rico are the tag champs because Vince decided it. But no one cares as Devon is disgusted by his opponent tonight,
disgusted.
Rikishi, and his enormous backside. Get the heck back there and put some clothes on, the good reverend says.
He calls him a heathen.
You heathen. Devon narrowly avoids a butt drop. And here comes Rico and the tag title he has because there's no other tag teams in the division. I mean, Devon is there with Batista, but in fairness, given how green he is, it's for the best they didn't. he's so green, RVD would be arrested for carrying him in a small bag. Devon low blows Rikishi as Billy and Chuck also head down. Batista puts Rikishi's foot from underneath him in a slam for two. That was really horribly worded, but it did make sense. Bloody hell. Devon lands a DDT, but Samoan heads are still hard in the year of our Lord 2002, so he no-sells it. They gave him the one-man 3D. Rikishi sets up the ass, but Rico hits Rikishi with the tag title so Devon can get the win as the gays applaud.
Yeah!
Taz says Rico is the hippest hypocrite he ever did see.
The hip-hop hypocrite.
The hippest hypocrite. Don't stop, don't. The bump, bump, the boogie. Yeah, this was mostly Angle, but Reverend got to win something.
Yeah, it was good.
Hooray.
In any other time frame, you'd go, I'm intrigued as to where this goes. But this being WWE in this period, it's like, it could potentially go nowhere.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, what's going to happen with the tag title division? I don't care.
The tag title division... We're on the right show for it, but it'll take a little while.
Yes.
Because we have an absolute renaissance of tag team wrestling on the horizon.
Yeah.
Right now, this ain't it, but we have a renaissance on the horizon. Buzzing for it.
Before that, backstage, someone is watching Eddie smashing glass over Austin. Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that. Chavo is the person seen watching it as the camera pulls back and being happy about his essay. Gregory Helms, roving reporter, wants to know if Chavo is the one leaving notes for the Hurricane. Chavo plays along with the fact they're different people and walks away. But someone else has left a note for Hurricane with beef jerky. Oh, I have no memory of this.
I don't remember this either.
What the fuck is this?
I couldn't think of anyone who I knew who would eat beef jerky unless it was Randy Savage, but I don't think it's Randy Savage.
Don't get Randy Savage versus Hurricane. I remember that happening in 02, Tom.
The person that there is, okay, there is a challenger on the horizon for him, but I don't know how the beef jerky ties into it. But we'll see.
We'll get there.
We will absolutely.
We'll have to continue watching SmackDown.
We'll have to continue watching SmackDown.
That's the only way to find out what happens.
Which we are one to do. We saw a little video clip here, like you say, of Eddie Guerrero and Austin brawling in the bar. Vince McMahon was off site this week. Sorry, Pat Mustard was off site this week.
Thing, yeah. So it took him 3 days to get there.
Yeah, I was in a milk float.
I almost called it a milk tray. That's not right, is it? What is it?
Not a milk float. Tray. It's a milk float. Milk tray is
it
a
doesn't
chocolate.
Float though. A tray contains things, which at least that does.
Right.
Why is it called a milk float?
Why is it called a milk float?
Yeah,
and not a milk truck. Yeah. Why is it
milk
called
van.
A milk float? Because surely then lorries would just be stuff float.
Right. Ah, an oil float.
Right, hang on. The word float seems to have the meaning delivery vehicle, only when applied to milk floats. Yeah, I know, but why? Why is a milk delivery truck called a milk float? Before the widespread use of electric vehicles, milk was delivered by horse and carts. The cart was the specific design with a dropped axle and large wheels, which allowed for smoother travel over rough surfaces due to lower center of gravity. This type of cart is known as a float. And since they carried milk, the name milk float was adopted. Once the old float carts were replaced with electric vehicles, the name was also transferred, so the electric vehicles became, and are still known as, milk floats.
Right.
They called it because it's not that thing that did float. Thank you for clarifying that. We are very stubborn when it comes to words.
There you go. That's, well, the more you know.
Try and remember, Pat must have done the cream of the crop promo. But, like, the milk always floats to the top, father.
The thing is with me, Pat Mustard, the milk always floats to the top. I'm going to shag all your wives. Pat Mustard would be a brilliant wrestling character, the more I think about it.
Top shagger, Pat
Mustard. Top shagger, Pat Mustard. Because you
but
are
he has
my...
to look like that. He can't look like Randy Orton. That's not funny.
Imagine.
It has to be
we take
the
out...
housewife's favourite, Pat Mustard.
Right. You could replace, in 97, swap out Brian Pillman for Pat Mustard in that story with Goldust and Marlena.
Oh.
But see it through to its full conclusion and have Marlena run off with Pat Mustard. But the moment that she ditches Goldust and leaves with Pat, Pat's like, I wouldn't be tied down by a woman. She casts her aside. She won't go back to Goldust because she's left him, but Pat doesn't want her anymore. He's like, he can't be tied down. Yeah. Pat Mustard.
Terry, telling, oh, Goldust. Pat Mustard was owning it. Like, they're my massive tool. What?
Pat Mustard as a wrestling character. I think it's gold.
Remember 99 when Austin had to have neck surgery, so Pat Mustard hit him with a milk float.
Austin stood there as a milk float comes slowly towards him.
Thud.
Dings him. Good God almighty.
Yeah, Terry, I was like, no!
That milk float just slightly dinged Austin.
Quick, someone... Somehow get him! He's still, the float's still in shot.
And then it stops.
Quick!
It stops and orange balloons come out the balloon.
Who was it? Who did anyone see in the blur that went past who it was?
I did it for the wives.
I think it was Rikishi. But I can't be sure.
Rikishi tried a milk float.
The milk float stalled. Rikishi just walks past. Fuck it, it's quicker to just go back. Like a South Shields journalist trying to get to town. I'll take the bridge.
Austin being hit by a milk float.
Oh, God. Triple H speaks to Tom's best man, Mark, whatever the fuck his name is.
Dan Guest is my best man.
Whatever. He speaks to Dan Guest. He's on SmackDown as well. Him and Pat Mustard. This is just bollocks, this. Triple H says there are no winners at Hell in a Cell. Yeah, sure. You're trying to convince. Lance interrupts to distract Triple H so Test can Pearl Harbor from the front with a big boot. Yes! I remember Test kicking Triple H in 02. Get him.
And he absolutely fucking
yes,
hoofed him.
Take that, you bastard.
Just hoofed him into the chain link fence.
Yes.
Do you know what? Yeah. Give me Test and Triple H again.
Yeah.
And let's call upon all that lovely history they've got. It's like, you fucking shagged my wife. Fucking Pat Mustard.
Pat Mustard.
You shagged my wife and she ran off with you. I'm still fucking living.
Triple H. He's the fella who left his wife for a young'un.
You took everything from me. My wife, my push. I want it all back. Yeah. Give me that. Have Triple H beat Taker for the title, then give me Triple H versus Test for the title.
Yes.
Come on. Let's create some stars.
We're dangerously close to that. If it wasn't
but clenchingly
that,
close.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, there is a small matter of a Brock Lesnar.
Oh, also this week, Velocity debuts with Trish versus Stacey Bratton Panties, as WWE does a thing where they really hype up a show for the first few months, then forget it exists.
Yeah, they're good at that. They are very good at that.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. WWE Cruiserweight Champion, The Hurricane, takes on Chavo Guerrero Jr. Yay, Chavo, I've put here. Some nice action. crowd kind of over with Hurricane, but not a lot. Buff Blockbuster, a.k.a. The Overcast. Everything's going to be a pun. Mm-hmm. Wins the match. Nothing wrong with this, but it was just kind of there. I had no notes on this.
The only notes I really had was it was a great match and they got time to deliver a great match. Chavo looked great in there. Mm. There's not much behind Chavo at the moment other than he's just a great wrestler. I think the Hurricane probably looked more incomplete in his persona. Like, he's obviously been working on the minutiae of it, like down to the fact that he got the three and he kind of stayed down and did like a superhero pose afterwards. Like, little touches like that where he's really leaning into the character, which I'm really enjoying. It's nice to see Chavo on SmackDown this week. To go back to what I was going to say, because obviously earlier Chavo was watching the Austin and Eddie scrap. I think there's some news to come about Austin and his status with the company. Like, how gutted the fact that happened at the expense of us getting an Austin Guerrero story. That would have been incredible bit of business.
Yeah.
Seeing Austin Guerrero for you. But we never, but hey, look, that's one can dream. Hurricane and Chavo was really good.
Backstage, Stacy tells Pat Mustard she was just playing around with Orton. Pat Mustard doesn't care because he knows tonight is important. As important as the Gettysburg Address was for Lincoln. It's Hulk Hogan retiring. Ha 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 ha. Jericho shows up all hurt and bitchy, asking why Pat Mustard is putting him in the ring with someone tonight. Pat Mustard says it's a chance for Jericho to prove himself tonight. I mean, you're supposed to be good, right? Can you beat the world's strongest man? And he goes, plus, there's not a lot of demand for you in the main event. You like UHT milk. Jericho, UHT a little bitch, walks up.
That whenever anyone sees it, they go, oh, shit.
Yeah. And then Jericho says, Pat, have you ever considered, like, not shagging everyone? And they're all just, you know, restraining yourself. And he goes, you won't be trying to promote some form of contraception now, would you? And Jericho has a thinking, just fuck off.
I'm very worried that we've replaced one alleged sexual deviant with another. I don't think we've made a fair trade this week.
Pat willingly delivered the goods.
That's very true. That is very true.
This Father's Head storyline is brought to you by Subway. Eat fresh. Pedophiles can eat these sandwiches, but Tim White can't because Jericho fucked his shoulder. Anyway, here's Jericho. Be trying out for my radio career.
Yeah, I mean, we'll pre-record it just in case.
Jericho is presented by Stacker 2, Panasonic E, and Taco Bell.
Go on, put them all together.
I'll tell you what, the E will be the noise you make once you be eating fucking Taco Bell. Oh.
Shit through the eye of a needle.
Taz said that you need... Taz was talking about the operation's knees on his shoulders and knees. Nothing about his ass. The beat drops and I keep pooping. That's right. Mark Henry's music plays. Henry batters Jericho, but he rolls out the way of a pump splash. Henry just runs into Jericho to knock him down. I like it when big lads just go,
bosh.
That's it. I'm built like a wall, mate. Jericho jumps into Mark's arms, so Mark military press slams Jericho. As the commentators talk about how big he is, Mark leaves a skid mark on Jericho's head as he lands outside in that move that he didn't do. I swear he didn't do that much, but I'm watching it now because, he busts out that terrifying move a lot.
He did do it a fair bit.
Yeah. There's enough money in the world for me to take that move.
Not a chance in hell.
Yeah.
Anyway. I remember him doing it in like 98 and 99 and 2001. Yeah. Sorry, 2002. I remember him doing it a fair bit. I'm pretty sure it's in the game, so he must have done it a lot.
I remember him doing it more in 2010 than in the 2000s, but...
I'd rather take it in the 2000s than in 2010. Yeah. He was a bit leaner.
Anyway, Chris uses a chair after throwing another chair in the ring. The ref gets distracted with the first one, and then Jericho somehow proceeds to bleed loads. As Jericho was, I think, gashed open when he was pushed into the turnbuckle, but the chair allows Jericho to win the match, and then he just bleeds away, bleedingly.
So, like Trips, Jericho came into this with, like, a skin-coloured plaster on his head.
Right.
So, and both guys had that plaster knocked off, so therefore it reopened the cut.
This looked like a fresh cut. He was bleeding heavily. Like, Triple H was like a scab that you picked open. This was like, oh, hang on, gash.
I can't find anything why it was bleeding in particularly heavy, but I can only imagine that the plaster came off, and he must have just been knocked... By Mark Henry that just made it worse, potentially.
And then the cameras are like, oh, there's Jericho. Oh, we can't really show that too much, but thank you, mate.
It's the second hour, so they can get away with it more than they could in the first.
Oh, okay, fair enough then.
After
yeah, because it's UPN, no one's watching at this point.
It's true.
But yeah, Mark looked good here. At least he lost in bitch way to Jericho the Bitch.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was. I thought it was a nice showing for Mark Henry, really. I think we're still far off from Mark Henry being the guy that he would become, the main event guy he'd become. But I thought this was good, a good showing for Mark Henry. Wish he didn't wear the SmackDown t-shirt, though.
Yeah.
Kind of is a bit of a jobbery thing to do, like him and Maven did.
Yep.
I get you pushing the brand, but I don't think wrestlers should wear the show shirts. Yep. IMHO.
Thank you for saying it like that.
IMHO.
Thank you. Hello, IMHO. I'm Mafu. Here's Hogan to retire. Teehee. Sure.
Yay!
Deafeningly loud and genuine crowd response for the human sausage. Hogan explains he was the son of a pipe fitter and was raised right here in Florida. Hogan says lots of good things and sounds like a genuine person, which must have killed him inside. And I'll put in capital letters. Oh, wait, never mind. Oh, right, yeah. My fucking God. He says his dad was 88. He'd had his sixth stroke. And the only two times he reacted a week were when Raw and SmackDown were on. I'll put, oh no, Hogan. Then he got sick of being in that position and ripped the tube out of his mouth. Oh no, Hogan. And the last thing he said to me, and I swear by God this happened, brother, was that you need to go and get your career sorted out in WWF, brother. Oh no, Hogan. He said you need to go home to WWF. This works as the crowd love him and his smelly bullshit. He says he hopes Hulkamania lives forever. Thank you for everything. Hey, crowd eats it all up. A big bullshit-flavored pasta right there. But then Pat Mustard shows up. You know what? This is more realistic than the story Hogan just fucking told. In his little milk float. And says Hogan can't retire because he has a contract and a grudge. Because 10 years ago, he left Pat Mustard. Now I went, huh? That you too? Anyway, the only way Hogan is leaving WWE is when he's in a pine box. Pat Mustard yells, I created Hogan. I own Hulkamania. Hogan says, fine. He'll only retire after he's kicked Pat Mustard's ass. Hogan proceeds to whip Pat Mustard down as I think, God, some mustard look really nice on Sausage Hogan. Until Undertaker batters him like the bit of meat that he is. But then Hogan axe boombas Undertaker and clotheslines him out the ring.
Go on, son.
As Hulkamania lives and is alive and the ratings are shit.
Hogan ain't retiring, yay, brother.
We're all gonna die.
Hogan, 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 Hogan.
Oh, well,
wonderful.
It wasn't quite the bomb we thought it was going to be, you know, unlike the one that saw off Pat Mustard in the end of the episode, but it was getting there.
Yeah, bit weird him going, because there is some truth to like him, his dad being on the deathbed and talking about getting back his arresting, but he very much used his dad's death as a way of currying favor with the fan.
Watching Hogan on O2. Yeah, he went, how did that gobshite get on the television?
Is he never off the air? Yeah, that was weird. It's hard to buy the Hogan's. I think you know, we're looking back now, but for 20 years that would follow this, it's just, this is the week as well where Hogan did that interview with the 700 Club, and there's a line in there that's been taken out of context.
Oh, okay.
It turns like, it's been taken out of context in the sense that Hogan said that 2 days after Roddy Piper died, he got a voicemail from him. What I think Hogan meant...
Oh, no, I didn't. I never took it that, like, Piper was communicating him from beyond the grave.
Some have.
For fuck's sake.
Because only because in the voicemail he's going, I'm walking with Jesus, brother. I'm all good. And it's like... And it kind
no,
of,
I didn't take it like that.
No, but, it's, okay. It certainly came off that way. But you know what? The stuff that Hogan has said... I wouldn't put it past him to say, oh, yeah, Piper rang me from heaven. He's doing all right. I wouldn't put it past him. It was a very much bait and switch main event for SmackDown this week with a week's build to announce the retirement of Hulk Hogan that, lol, wasn't even the retirement. The Observer says that the plan currently is to do Hogan versus Vince McMahon at
Mustard.
Sorry, Hogan versus Pat Mustard. Thank you. At SummerSlam.
But it depends on if you can get the time off Craggy Island.
Exactly. We don't know yet. There is talk about Hulk Hogan taking some time off after King of the Ring and then coming back for SummerSlam. But there's also talk of him just sticking around throughout the next few months, but not headlining at the next two pay-per-views. So, I mean, a Hogan Mustard match is on the horizon, but not as soon as the Observer seems to think it is.
Imagine Pat Mustard dragging Hogan to the corridors. He's dressed as a biker for some reason.
Feckin' hell! I forgot my feckin' trousers!
Hogan's like, please, Pat Mustard, please. We're going at 2 miles an hour.
Just the milk floats scuttling away.
Oh, Hogan trying to take please, his milk float on Raw. He can't get his... How's this thing work, brother? I can't work stick. He has to get up really early in the morning to get a one-up on me, Hogan.
Slow down. Hogan getting a pint of milk smashed over his head. And then dragged around on a milk float for 5 miles an hour. Stop it, I'm getting slight carpet burn. Brilliant. That was SmackDown.
Wow.
What did you remember from SmackDown this week?
Fucking hell. I remember... It's a nice laugh. I remember Kurt Angle's wig.
Yeah, so this is the first time that we see... not quite badly Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Just, you know, there's one of those actors that can do everything, like the comedy, the drama, make the serious, I don't know, like a Robin Williams, for example. Mm-hmm. Kurt's one of them for wrestling.
Oh, he really is. There'll never be another one like him. They really won't. I remember the fake Hulk Hogan retirement.
Do you?
Yeah, the build for a week, and then, at least maybe it was longer, as we've talked about, but I certainly remember Hulk doing the big retirement thing, and then it ended up not being a retirement at all. I was like, oh, okay. Which is something that I think we'll pull upon a few more times with Hogan, at least. So I definitely remember that. And they're thinking, oh, is Hogan gonna challenge for the belt again? That was the way I looked at it afterwards, because Triple H had declared to fight, he wanted to fight Undertaker, but then got hoofed in the face by Test.
That's right.
And then it was Hogan seeing off Undertaker. So I remember watching this going, are they doing Hogan Undertaker again? Another one of those shit choke slams. Surely not. What did you forget?
Beef jerky.
Yeah, the beef jerky bit.
I've lost me there, mate.
No, I can't say I'm too sure about it either. I'm going to lean into the fact of it's one from Raw, but they referenced it on SmackDown. Eddie and Austin feuding.
Yeah, because that's got a clip of it, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the
because next week something happens.
Yeah,
that's a good teaser, isn't it? Mm. Next week something happens.
Something happens next week. Yeah, so I forgot that was a thing, and I was deeply sad when I realised, oh, we don't really get a payoff to it ever.
Yeah. Also, Andrew seen Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
That's a bit that you'd forgotten this week as well.
Yeah. that's a bit I forget, because I remember my main memories of Star Wars Episode One are the racing game.
Pod racing.
Yes.
This is pod racing.
Yes, with Sebulba, little Anakin...
Cooper, Wario, Donkey Kong.
Dave Mirra.
The Daytona car in a pod.
Hornet, how dare you? Sorry, the Daytona car, you motherfucker.
Dave Toner.
The dancing Jeffrey statue.
It's not called Hornet, it's called Dave Toner. We've talked about this.
Oh, no. Dave, oh, we have, haven't we?
Dave. Retro.
Shut the fuck
Even Retro Gamer brought that
Dave
up.
Dave Toner.
Dave Toner. Retro Gamer brought it up. The deepest of joy was that. I did the podcast that week, and I saw, and normally I get a few comments of people going, oh, he's just a speed bump on these. But then I thought, you know what? I'll take them, because this week Retro Gamer are talking about it in print forever remembered. So Dave Toner, the Hornet. His middle name can be Hornet. Dave Hornet Toner in the pod. We've gone off on one, haven't we? But I digress.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Tom.
It's been great to be back over the weekend. So, Sunday on the podcast feed, brand new matches of the month with Jack the Jobber. He looks back at the biggest matches of April. It's a monthly
be a big one.
Retrospective, and there's been some big old matches in April, and we'll talk all about them. Well, Jack will talk all about them with you on Sunday. On Monday, a lovely chat with indie star Amir Jordan.
Oh, he's nice.
He's lovely. His adventures in Canada. He recently headed off and did a couple of mini tours of Canada. So wanted to pick his brain on how all that went, how it all came about, highs and lows of it, and all that stuff. So on Bank Holiday Monday this week, you've got a lovely chat with Amir Jordan that I had as well. How lovely. Also, it's Backlash this weekend in France. So you have predictions, nine pitches, live reactions tonight with Adam and Andrew, and then what happened out in the WTF moments as well. So all of that on the YouTube channel across the next few days. What are you plugging?
No.
Great. We're not here next week.
My Twitch streams, I guess.
Yeah, Twitch.
Thursday and Sunday, so I was trying to be funny. We had, I was looking at the Hulk Hogan's Championship Wrestling, Celebrity Championship Wrestling from 2008, 2010. And Todd Bridges was on there from Different Strokes. And someone says, you know, he's streaming right now as we're doing this. He's like, what's he doing? He says, he's playing Fortnite. I went, sure he is. So someone messaged him and he came in the chat and started talking about it.
Oh, brilliant.
That was nice.
You're going to get him back on?
Show's a pile of fucking wank, like. But he went, how'd you get this? And he went, oh, I've got a friend who's got it. Can you send it to me? He goes, yeah, sure. So I've got Todd Bridges' email address now.
Brilliant. Oh, that's great. Good fun.
It's really good for people in the 50s, I guess. It's obviously Different Strokes.
That's a great shout, that is. Is he a wrestling fan still?
I can't think. Like, much after that show. Like,
oh, God, I imagine him putting him off afterwards.
He was very dismissive going, look at the show, it's bullshit. But he's joined it. There's one clip. It's wank. But God love him. Because he seems decent compared to everybody else on that bloody show. But, like, there's a bit where it's like, all right, kick him in the midsection. He kicks his fucking poor wrestling guy right in the fucking Jacobs. And then tries to deny it. No, I didn't kick him in the gun. He goes,
the show,
the replays. He could have kicked him close to the dick if he was aiming for the dick. No, I didn't hit him in there. It's like the one good bit of the show. Poor guy, oh, fuck. And he's just there in the chat going, what do you remember of this? You see him going, lol.
Good lad.
Different Strokes.
See, you never know who's going to turn up on a Matthew Greg Twitch.
Yeah, sometimes I show up.
Yeah, sometimes Matt turns up. Though.
Sometimes it's Dave fucking Toner. Classic, cultaholic.
Matt is playing Daytona, and Dave Toner turned up in the chat.
He said, I heard you talking shit.
It would just be... Because he's tires for hands.
He's got his little wheels. He's on the fight to make a mix. He can throw a right tire really hard.
Dave Toner heard you talking shit about him, Matt.
Dave Toner.
We're back, not next week, week after next, for more Cultaholic Classic Smackdown and new flavour goodness. We're at classic at cultaholic.com. If you want to drop us an email, he's at Matthew Greg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us, Daytona! It rode away,
Daytona! Fuck you, Daytona. I hope Pat Mustard laps you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.